and welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Bolin, and today we're going to be doing a, I guess, post-mortem, if what you want to call it, on Captain Marvel. You know, if you recall, we did a kind of like a pre-mortem of the movie.
Preview podcast.
Yes. And now we're going to, since everybody's seen it, well, everybody should because of the results are fabulous.
And we're going to give spoilers here.
Whole entire podcast is going to be one giant spoiler. So if you haven't seen it.
So only listen if you've seen the movie.
Yes.
Right. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it.
Yes. And pause it or put a headpiece in and listen to this as you're watching the movie.
I would go against that.
Okay.
All right. This isn't going to be a scene-by-scene commentary.
So. Oh, damn it. All right, we'll wait for the DVD to do that. Okay, well again, I'm here with my favorite two co-hosts, Ethan and Larry.
Good evening.
Hello.
And we're just going to jump right in. Now, another thing is that this is going to post out of order with the rest of the MCU that we're doing.
Right.
So that when you see this pop up, don't be confused by this. The regularly scheduled ones are still going to go up as normal
after this, every Saturday from now on.
And you might want to check out the webpage because our Patreon account is now active and live. You'll see that in the upper right hand corner. And if you really do like everything we're doing, please contribute. Click on the link there, and you can see all the different levels and tiers that are available to you, and all the things that you can get just for subscribing to us and supporting us. Keeps the lights on, keeps the podcast free. And now on with Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Now, again, this one is world building.
Thor.
Like Thor.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Now, this takes place out in the cosmic realm. Again, mm-hmm. a different part of it. But it pulls in a lot of characters from the opening scene.
I view the opening scene, again, as I discussed with somebody earlier, as Inception-like, because it's a scene later in the movie, and it's very confusing. There's fire, there's stones.
But when you're watching it, you don't know that it...
You don't know that it's on
Earth.
Well, kind of like Inception as well. Kind of like there's an opening scene, you're like, what's going on? And then you realize it's later, much later on in the movie. And that's what I'm saying.
Before we talk about the first scene, can I just point out that so the very beginning.
Oh my God, the best thing in the world.
So was the tribute to Stan Lee.
Yes.
And so they did it as part of the Marvel Studios logo at the very beginning, which I thought was excellent. It was awesome.
It was marvelous.
And at least, I don't know about when you guys saw it, but when at the theater I was at, people were cheering for it. So
yes, I saw it on opening night, the fans thing, and which I did post the pictures of the coins that we got for being there. Yes, the theater went nuts with the tribute, and it was a perfect tribute.
Yeah, there's no better way or worse.
Every single cameo he's ever appeared in on there.
Right. So it was nice. It was a nice touch.
It was a really nice touch, yes.
Yeah, it was just...
They owe it to him, so...
Yeah,
it's
we wouldn't be here without
billions and billions of dollars.
Yes.
Carl Sagan. Anyway, so opening tribute, fantastic.
Which is... And then the opening scene is the plane accident.
Right. And it's a little confusing. It's a little confusing, you know, what's really... At least for me, again, I mean, I see who the characters, and I know who they were... But
nobody knows what's going on because it's opening, and so we see a plane accident, and
right.
You know,
fire,
and Carol Danvers is there, and everything like this. And at this point, did they show that she had blue blood?
Yes.
Okay. Which kind of was confusing. It's just like, oh, we know what this is because of Tahiti and on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. And well, those of us who watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Right, but then
Larry might not have known that.
Yes. No. And so I thought, like, oh my God, she's either a Skrull or a Kree, or she went through the Tahiti program. That's the first thing that went through my head when I saw that.
Well, and the other thing is, we should be discussing about our preview of Captain Marvel podcast, where you made some predictions,
which was right.
I don't think so. We'll discuss that in a little bit.
Yeah,
no.
Because it the whole thing was a flashback, which happened at the current time.
No, the opening scene was a flashback. The whole movie wasn't a flashback.
Okay, I'll give you that.
There you go. Narcissistic Craig Patrick is thinking you're always right. Point one.
But I Always.
No, yeah, you're not. Okay, stop it. Just don't turn off my microphone, Patrick. Okay.
You mean like this?
Exactly. So, anyway, so opening scene is the plane crash.
Yes.
And so
it's the aftermath of the
plane after crash. After the aftermath.
Sorry, right. The aftermath of the plane crash.
So we have no idea what's going on, why there was a plane crash, what's going on, everything. But we see that Carol Danvers survives.
Which, right, not a shock. That's not a spoiler. I mean, let's be honest. Yes. Right. So she survives, but we don't really see Lawson. I mean, we see Lawson, but we don't really...
No, we see her, but we don't see...
Anybody else
who was actually...
That's right.
And the plane wreck at this point in time.
Right. But, and we see a Skrull coming towards her, which in reality we find out that wasn't a Skrull.
No. Right. So, again, it's all kind of gauzy and vague, and you know, like there's Vaseline on the camera lens. Yes. It's very odd. Right.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a very vague memory, and then it goes to her waking up, right?
Correct. Right, and showing her in Hala, the Kree
homeworld. Right. And her... room or bunker or whatever you want to call it.
Living quarters.
Yeah, her living quarters there, because now we find out that she's actually a Kree warrior at this point, because she goes to her mentor? Boss?
Kind of trainer, or
chief?
Yon-Rag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Jude Law.
Who's
fantastic.
Because up this point we thought that was going to be Mar-Vell. And we find out that it wasn't.
Exactly,
yes.
Right,
and so she goes to him and saying, you know, it's just like, I can't sleep. And he goes, don't you ever sleep? And so they go work out.
Right.
And
like karate.
And he's giving, again, reiterating her training, saying like, you got to control this, you know, and all this stuff. And so she's going through there and she fires off her fists and he's like, you got to control this and everything like this. And then she goes, after the workout, she goes to the Supreme
Intelligence.
Right.
But they also have a conversation. Looks like they're on like a train of some sort.
And, right, right.
And they talk about who does the Supreme Intelligence look like to you?
Supposed to be somebody
who's important to you.
Right.
Or was that after she saw him?
No, that was on the way in. Yeah. So they're taking public transportation to wherever the headquarters is, where the Supreme Intelligence is kept.
Right. You'd think it'd be fancier, but that's okay.
And so, you know, it just kind of shows the world itself. Again, world building.
Right.
And so she goes there and she plugs in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
she like stands and like kind of like envelops her, so to speak.
Yeah, and they absorb and they go into her head, and she is somebody that she doesn't remember, which is basically the actress.
Annette Bening, fantastic.
They had this deep conversation, and the Supreme Intelligence reemphasizes that, you know, we saved you, we built you, and all this stuff.
Right.
So they're kind of keeping the brainwashing going. At this point, we don't know it is.
It starts out as like a nice conversation, but then it gets a little odd. You know, I'm like, why is she talking about that? I just thought that was strange.
Yeah, not letting her think outside the box. She just kept on, you know, going like, this is who you are, this is what your training is, this is what you need to do, and she goes off on a mission. You know, they go, we're going to give you a mission.
Right,
right.
Yeah, she
goes off with the rest of her team, along with Yon-Rogg, Jude Law,
mm-hmm.
And notice what we see, one of the members is a character we've seen before.
Right, the actor Jimon Hansu, who plays
Korath.
Right, who is in the beginning of
Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy, right.
So, yeah. And he's like one of the henchmen hunting down Star-Lord.
Right, but basically. He's the one who was famous. His one of his lines became a famous meme online. When Star-Lord identifies himself, he's like, Peter Quill, I'm Star-Lord. He's like,
ooh.
Right.
So that's become a famous meme of Yaman Hansu saying, who, because that's, you know, it's whenever you want to, somebody mentioned someone, you're like, who is that?
Yeah, you're supposed to throw that in there.
It is a very funny line at the beginning of Guardians. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, so he's part of the Star Force.
The Black Ops or whatever you want to call
Force.
It.
Star Force, right.
Yeah, Space Force will never get off the ground.
I was thinking about that in the movie, and then Star Force.
And so they go on a mission to...
Rescue a Kree spy.
Who's spying on this planet to try to get information on a Skrull
outpost
or a Skrull invasion of that area.
Right. Yeah.
And he's been captured by Skrulls and he's being held.
And he's set off the beacon and stuff.
Right, they need to extract them.
Yeah, and so they're trying to go undercover because, you know, they're a small force, they're behind enemy lines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I put enemy lines in quotation marks.
Correct.
And so because we don't know at this point what's really going on with them. You know, they've set it up saying Skrulls are bad, Kree are good, and
right,
then
right.
You
know, that's how it's set up.
That's where it's set up.
And again, Don, help me out because I'm going to touch on Guardians of the Galaxy, and I love Guardians.
Yeah.
So, are we in the we're in the midst of the Kree Skrull War, or
correct?
The treaty hasn't been signed.
Does it mean there's no treaty or anything like this. Right. In the comic books, this has been going on for over 1,000 years, and that's why the Supreme Intelligence was devised, which is an artificial intelligence,
the collective,
and they built that so they can say like we need a tipping point, we need something that's going to help us with this,
right?
And
the collective intelligence of their species.
Yes, so the whole entire kit and caboodle is all together, kind of like how our internet is, and how it just
or David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that too. And it just I have no idea where that came from.
You said kit.
Oh, there you go.
Same thing. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Yeah. But it and in the comics, and we can discuss this more, but. In the comics, there's really not Kree is good, Skrulls are bad, or vice versa.
No,
really,
they're
both bad.
Yeah, they're both they're just beating each other senseless.
They're basically two,
warring
conquering
nations.
Nations that are fighting over the same territory. So they're both
committing war atrocities.
They're both basically empires looking to expand.
Yeah, okay. And we just happen to get in the crosshairs. The Earth gets set in the crosshairs through several different ways, and it's just that
Terra 53, am I right? Terra 53 or what are they?
Oh, the Earth through the Kree are calling it territory or Terra 53.
Was it? I thought it was T53.
Maybe.
T53.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And so, but
which is called a shithole by one of the
hard to argue with it these days. Yeah. Sorry,
but
nice places, but.
Yeah, so they get in there, they slide underneath the radar of the planet.
So to speak.
But then they find, but there's a group of natives there that are...
Just the natives of that planet.
But then we find out those aren't really natives, they're actually Skrulls.
Which were introduced, what makes Skrulls unique is that they're shapeshifters.
Right.
Now they also explain this, I don't know if it was in this sequence or another, it's just that they're able to mimic somebody down to their DNA. Which I think it's very important that they said that for a reason.
Because
of the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I will throw my argument out there. And Ethan's smiling about this. But I just, so they go in there.
Or it could be something that comes back later in another film, too.
Yes. Because
if the Skrulls are reintroduced, let's say.
Yeah, let's say, yes. Or through another super.
Or some other future film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like two major plot lines use them in the comic books, Secret Wars and
Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion.
But let's say if hypothetically one of our favorite heroes might have been replaced by a Skrull at some point.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And even their DNA would be the same.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The little light bulb goes on.
So that's why I say, not necessarily Endgame, but it could be in a future film.
Yeah,
true.
Dropping it in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pick your favorite MCU hero.
Well, Patrick mentioned to me before we started that after Spider-Man Far From Home, there's no Marvel movie for
until
over
next year.
A year. So
because there's no. None of the, there are films that are in pre-production, but there are no films that are being
released
filmed at this point.
Right, and I understand.
So you figure it's at least a year to do.
There'll be a gap
to do the filming and all the post-production effects and yada yada. So
yeah, because even though we're getting slightly off kilter, June they're starting to film Black Widow.
Black Widow,
is that for sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that'll probably be the next.
Well, that's going to be very low special effects, so there's not going to need a lot of post production on that.
Okay,
but if that's filming next, I would assume that would be the next.
Next one,
that'd be February because they have
staked out. We know what some of the other films are going to be.
Yes,
we just don't have release dates tied to that. And we know what release dates Disney has planned.
Yes.
Nothing's matched up yet.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And which is.
But I mean, we can assume that there's going to be a Black Widow film. We can assume there's Doctor Strange 2.
Supposedly
a script already done for
Doctor Strange 2.
Black Panther 2 is a no-brainer.
They'd be idiots not to do it.
They'd be foolish not to. And there's still discussion that Guardians 3 could still be done. They just have to find a director for it.
Right.
And then there's also potentially Eternals.
Yes, that's that. That is they want to do one. They don't have a script or a director or even cast.
Right. Yeah. So we're off, but that's kind of the MCU.
They've already said that the first gay superhero will be in the Eternals.
Okay.
And the MCU in the comic books, it's been done
right.
a million times.
Right. So. No, I think the reason why I wanted to bring that up, and also, so I mean, obviously with Captain Marvel, like you said, it's world building. It's, you could say it's movie one of a potential franchise. They could do two or three.
Yeah, sure.
And of course, we've done Thor, we've done Iron Man, now Black Widow, and of course, you want to finish up Guardians. You know, so you're starting maybe a new female franchise.
Don't forget, this is technically Phase 4, but they're not going to call it phases anymore. So this is the beginning of the new stuff.
Captain Marvel. I thought. Far From Home will be the first Phase 4 film, or for the first film post Phase 3.
I thought
this was still considered part of Phase 3.
I could look that up.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. But double check. Okay.
But even if it's not, even beyond just another Captain Marvel movie, it's also opening the door that there could be other films that involve the Kree and the Skrulls.
Yes, easily.
Right. Easily, like you said.
Because the Kree was already done in Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. or we wouldn't have Tahiti.
And they right. touched
Which
that.
Is a great place to visit.
But we also saw the Kree in Guardians, too.
Right.
Like with Ronan the Accuser. And
right. Yeah, and Ronan's in this movie, too.
Right.
Yeah, so they're painting in the corners and expanding.
Right.
So now they sneak in there. They realize that the natives are not natives. They're actually the Skrull, which is a trap then.
And actually, even the person they're there to extract is not himself.
No. He's a Skrull.
He's a Skrull. Right. So this whole thing was set up from the beginning. So but the thing is that she gave a code saying he gave it back. So they... the code was already, so somehow or another, they got the information from
him. They figured out how to get the code.
Yeah.
Right, which is bad.
Yeah, and so they take her out to take her with. And so,
right.
Yeah,
right.
So they drag her back to wherever,
like some sort of detention facility.
It's like a Skrull. It looks like it's a Skrull ship.
Right. But there's like a prison.
And then they stick her in this machine to try to suck her brain dry.
Right, she's like hanging upside down, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, time out. So Captain Marvel is considered end of Phase 3.
End of Phase 3.
Last one.
Wow, okay.
Not Endgame?
Not Endgame, no. They show Ant-Man and Wasp and Captain Marvel. So.
But is that that's from Box Office Mojo, or is that IMDb?
This is Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Okay. Try Marvel. Marvel MCU list or something. Like that.
Okay. All right. So she's captured.
She's captured by the Skrulls,
and they're picking her mind.
But she manages to break out, and then she takes on all the Skrulls.
But but while they're doing that, she's getting all these flashbacks of different pieces of memory.
Yes, correct.
They start breaking through her brainwashing.
Correct.
Right.
And so
she's
now
starting to have some flashbacks to
Earth.
Her earlier life.
Like from 1989, even prior to 1989.
Correct.
When she
was because they showed her.
So they showed her as a kid
as
well.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah.
So she breaks free. She beats a bunch of Skrulls up. They start
them out.
They start abandoning ships. She jumps into one of the ships and goes out too. And then she winds up somehow outside the ship, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the hole gets blown into it.
Yeah.
And then she manages to use her costume, which has a built-in life support system.
Correct.
And she tries to get into
one of the little pods.
Right. She doesn't make it. Well, she does because but it breaks up. And then she falls, and she lands on the best place you can land.
In a Blockbuster Video.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Circa 1995.
Yes.
Correct.
And as a side note, there's only one left in the world, and it's in Oregon.
Portland, yes. Oregon, right.
I don't think it's even Portland. It's somewhere rural Oregon.
Okay. Anybody in Oregon, go support your local Blockbuster.
Yes. And so, interesting point. So she's like, I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, right. Well, we know where she's at.
Yeah.
Right, as soon as we see that.
Yeah, and so she gets out of that and she wanders into a mall.
Well, the Blockbuster's in like a strip mall.
The strip mall.
And she walks up to the security guard and she's asking, is he the sector security?
Right.
He says, yeah, except for the movie theater has their own over there.
Right. She's obviously an imposing figure. She has this wacky suit on, basically.
Yes.
Call like a. they call it, what is it, a diving suit or something like that? They think
yeah, well, Fury calls it a diving suit. And he also makes fun of, and we're jumping a little ahead, but he goes, why are you dressed up for laser tag?
Right, he's talking about the star.
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted a laser tag as I was growing up, and I begged him, because you're able to get that, you know, that set from Toys R Us, and where you're able to wear it came on a two set or a single set, and you had the chest plate, and they had the guns, so you zap the, you know, they keep track of that. Yeah, and I begged him, and it was so expensive, and they went, no, we're not going to get that. We're not going
to
spend the money.
Well, the more fun laser tag is when you went to a place, like it was dark, and it was a little more.
Yeah, I only did that once as I was growing up.
So anyway, back to Captain Marvel.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So,
but no, so she, what she does is, does she steal the motorcycle?
No, that's later on. She asks into the phone, right? Right. She asks him for where there's communications equipment. He points to a Radio Shack.
Yes.
Right. So she takes some equipment out of the Radio Shack and then goes to a payphone and hacks
and,
into it.
Splices it.
Some wires, hooks some other things up
and
to it.
And she actually talks to
she manages to get through to him.
Right.
And she's trying to explain to him what's going on, everything like this, and he's able to track her down because of her tracer and built into her suit.
Right.
Which got to thinking is that her suit has a lot of electronics in it that we, you know, that thing could do a lot more than what was shown in this film. So there's a lot more capabilities to that.
Again,
anyway,
you said it's an origin story. We're only seeing what we need to see in part one, so to speak. So she's on the phone. And when she's on the phone, because of course the security guard calls, or you know, they get this, you know, somebody just broke into Blockbuster. There's police, but then
Shield shows up,
which is hilarious. Which is Agent Coulson, and
Agent
Fury. Because it's Agent Fury.
And he's Agent. He's not Director Fury.
Because when he flashes his badge, it shows a level clearance of 3, which we figured out later on how this plays into the Tesseract.
Okay.
So. And so he goes, why are you dressed up, at, you know, laser tag, and who are you? And she explains everything.
Like, I don't have any ID on me. And, you know, and he's like,
I don't have money or anything.
Right, this is weird.
And so
while they're talking to her, then there's a shot fired. Well, we see the Skrulls land
on the beach.
Right, and they
assume an identity of the people on the beach.
Surfers, basically.
Yeah. Right, but so we saw that a few minutes earlier. But then while they're talking from onto the roof across the
sniper,
a sniper shoots at him. It's one of the Skrulls who's taken on the appearance of a surfer.
Now I wanted to make a point that there was 4 Skrulls that came out of the surf water. Okay.
Yes.
That's very important.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll reveal later on.
Okay.
So they.
So she scrambles.
So she takes. She
the
takes.
Chase, a, so the chase ensues.
The chase ensues. She takes off after him, and then Fury and Coulson, or so we think it's Coulson,
take off to go follow
her. She chases the Skrull to a train, and then but when he gets on the train, there's an old lady getting off the train. He takes on her
identity.
But Carol, or Verse, as she's called,
Verse,
she bumps into the old lady as she's going to the train. She gets on the train. She starts looking around. And then when she sees the old lady, she realizes
that's
the Skrull because she'd seen the old lady getting off the train already.
Right.
Now, there's a continuity shattering scene that happened right before she meets the old lady.
Which was
when
the cameo of Stan Lee.
Stan Lee is sitting on the train. He's got a script. He's practicing his lines for a movie called Mallrats.
Yes, with Kevin Smith.
Yes, and he keeps going, Excelsior, Excelsior, and she pauses and smiles because she recognizes who he is. First shattering moment.
Right.
How does she know who he is?
Breaks the fourth wall.
Yes, breaks the fourth wall intentionally. Kevin Feige said that was done intentionally. Now the second part, which you got to wrap your mind around,
which I haven't yet. You've explained it to me. Go ahead.
All right, in the movie Mallrats.
Which Brody, came out in 1995.
Right, yeah. Brody bumps into Stan Lee.
Captain Marvel takes place in 1995.
Yes. So
it would make sense that Stan Lee was practicing his lines.
For the movie.
So far, that's logical.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Brody, the character in Mallrats, bumps into Stan Lee. Stan Lee's playing himself.
In Mallrats.
In Mallrats. Okay. And he's having this great speech with Rhodey about explaining about how, you know, he's you know, he wouldn't have been in comic books without his wife, and his, and he says you always pursue the one that you love and all this stuff. He says, I created Spider-Man, I created the Hulk, I created the Fantastic Four. He says this, and he says, I wrote for them for years and years and years with the support of my wife.
Okay. Wonderful.
This happens in 1995.
Right.
Those
lines are being recited.
In 1995.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Now, the thing is that Stan Lee is in this world.
In the Marvel universe.
In the Marvel MCU universe.
In 1995.
Spider-Man, the Hulk, none of these people exist.
Okay, now this is
in the MCU.
In this MCU.
Why don't they exist?
Because it's in 95. Those, you know,
because
the Hulk doesn't...
The Hulk, if you think about the Hulk film...
Mm-hmm. It takes place in 2010.
The MCU Hulk film, which with Edward Norton, that's, you know, 15 years after
that's
this.
That's 2008. Yeah.
2010.
2010, okay. Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
But it's 15... It's 13,
it's
15...
It's in the future.
It's in the future. So he hasn't become the Hulk yet.
So therefore,
but
how
Stan
does...
Stan Lee in 1995 is in a movie talking about creating the character Hulk...
And writing
comics.
For the comic books.
Spider-Man we don't see until Civil War, which is 2015, so that's another 20 years later, and he's a teenager.
Yes. Right. So therefore, those characters did not exist in 95 for him to write or write comic books about
as he explained in Mallrats.
Yes. So therefore, did he...
Okay, wait, let me stop you. And I seriously want to...
I know everybody that is screaming at the radio right now.
No, don't be screaming, because they're probably confused as I am. Okay, so he's talking to Brody, right?
Yes.
He's expressing to Brody as himself, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I understand this, because I barely remember Mallrats.
Fantastic.
And so he's talking in the past tense about creating these characters.
Yes,
correct.
So prior to 1995, he wrote these characters called the Hulk,
Spider-Man, since he is now part of the MCU universe, right. Those characters did not exist until 10 to 15 to 20 years after 95.
Okay, you're still
in
lost.
The MCU.
In this MCU, right. Only in the MCU. Don't think of it real life.
Okay, because
think of it as
this
characters
movie is
in the movie.
Taking place in the same universe as all the other Marvel movies.
Yes, right. But
in this 95. next Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. Well, we already know she does a scene with Bruce Banner,
right.
Who's the Hulk.
Yes.
Right.
But Stan Lee existed in this universe 20 years earlier, talking about creating the Hulk.
Think of
the
timeline.
So do you see where that's...
Yeah, think of the timeline, because...
Dr. Banner could have been born in the 1950s.
No.
He wasn't the Hulk.
He wasn't the Hulk then. Okay, in this universe that Marvel has created,
right.
Okay, the first thing that has happened was in the 40s, Captain America.
Correct, he disappeared.
As far as the civilians know.
Right.
The next appearance of anything of importance happens in Captain Marvel, when the Earth is exposed to and introduced.
We can talk about Ant-Man and the Ant-Man.
We could have been the first. There was also the first Ant-Man.
Yeah, that was in 87. That was a secret mission.
But that was...
87, 89.
We don't know when Hank Pym first became Ant-Man. He could have been Ant-Man in the 70s.
That's kind of my beef, because these people
exist. The Hulk didn't exist until 2010.
Right, because in the Hulk movie, he gets injected with the stuff.
Well, right. he exposed to gamma radiation.
Or let's take Spider-Man. Spider-Man we don't see until... 2016 when Civil War came out.
And he's a teenager. He's a 15-year-old kid. He wasn't even born.
He wasn't even born when this movie takes place.
Right.
Now, I do have a possible explanation. Just bear with me.
All right.
So, perhaps in this universe, Stan Lee is in Mallrats, but he created other characters, or he's created other comics, and maybe that's why he's in...
Oh, Mallrats. So, it's an alternate...
He's an alternate universe Stan Lee.
The one in Mallrats?
Or he's
the one in the movie, in Captain Marvel.
Or could he be the Watcher, and he's timeless, and he's just bouncing around in time?
Could be.
Okay. All right, so we're spending too much on this.
Way too much time on
that. Yeah, but this broke the internet when that scene happened, and everybody immediately started tweeting and texting Kevin Smith. He had no idea that this was going to be happen.
Right, and he gave no blessing or anything. He had no clue.
No, he had no clue this was going to happen. Right. And his wife dragged him to the theater that next morning because she tweeted pictures of the tickets showing that it was a matinee at 2 p.m. the next day. He went there, and then he filmed himself afterwards, and he was basically bawling and crying.
Anyway,
she does the Stanley tribute and the cameo. Right. Then she sees the old lady and goes, "Oh, wait a minute, hold on, this can't be her."
I just saw this old lady get off the train.
She punches, and they have this big, enormous fight, and everybody on the train is flipping out because, oh my God, she's beating up an old lady.
A young lady's beating up grandma. How can this be? But they're also afraid of her because they see how strong she is.
And then they're bending.
Everybody is naturally defending the old lady, so to speak, which is really the Skrull.
Yeah.
But then he winds up taking on another passenger's form before he gets out.
And then people are like, whoa.
The guy whose form he takes looks like,
what's going on?
Right.
So then they go up on the roof of the train. There's a big fight scene on the roof.
Which was great.
While they're fighting on the roof, the in the car that
Coulson and Coulson, air quotes,
and Fury are chasing behind her, and then they wind up on the street below the subway.
Right.
But then they wind up getting into an accident and the car crashing.
But it's because Coulson says something, right, and Fury goes, "Wait a minute!"
And then Coulson pulls his gun on him. He's trying to shoot.
And he purposely crashes the car.
He gets the call from Coulson.
Yes.
Coulson's on like a Motorola brick phone, like
calling
like
him from the Blockbuster and saying, "Sir, are you still here? I'm still at the Blockbuster."
And then he purposely crashes the car to take out the Skrull.
Because then he like looks at the Skrull funny, and the Skrull pulls out a gun and tries to kill him, and they're fighting in the car. And purposely he aims the car to get the Skrull, the fake Coulson, which does.
Which kills the Skrull.
Right.
That was a Kree that they used in Tahiti.
That was a Kree, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So after Fury wakes up, he covers him because, of course, now he looks like a Skrull.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, of course, there's emergency services coming because I think it was a bus or some sort of big vehicle or something.
And he goes, this is security. And everybody stay back. So they bring him back to whatever the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters is, and they're starting to dissect him.
Like an autopsy.
Yeah, right. And they're trying to figure out what this is because at this point in time,
they've never seen
this group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents haven't seen anything at this particular point in time.
Right.
We have to amend that because we don't know what else is. Or this group of people. Remember, there's level 3 clearance.
Right.
Low level clearance.
Very low level clearance.
Right.
Because, Captain America was level 7. Oh, level 10 is the it was Fury.
Fury as head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
As director, right.
Yeah. So you, keeping that in line, these people at level 3 have no idea what's going on.
Right.
After Captain Marvel is not able to capture the Skrull. He gets away from her at this.
Correct.
They get off the train at this major station downtown.
Right. And he disappears.
He slips away. So then she goes out walking around, and does she go to another phone to call?
Yeah. She tries
to call again. And then this guy pulls up on a motorcycle and he starts trying to...
Oh, catcall her.
Right. Well, before that, she was trying to figure out... She was having flashbacks of a memory of a bar.
Yes.
And so she's trying to look up the bar at a...
Internet cafe. Using Alta Vista.
but she's having a bad connection. So then she sees a map. She whips the map out, and while she's looking at the map, the guy on the motorcycle, he's trying to pick her up.
Right.
And then he gets off the motorcycle and walks away, so then she looks at the bike, she looks at a mannequin. The next scene, we see the one mannequin's empty.
Gone,
and then she's riding off in the motorcycle.
Right. Wearing the outfit. Right.
Wearing that outfit, yes.
Yeah, and this is where the nail shirt comes into effect.
But that scene was a little Terminator 2-ish.
Well, yeah. Grabbing the motorcycle.
Right. He took the guy's clothes and all that stuff.
Now, I'm not advertising this or anything like this because, nobody has sponsored this episode of the podcast.
Yet.
But Nine Inch Nails is doing a limited edition Captain Marvel Nine Inch Nail t-shirt. Don't know if it's still available because it was a limited edition. It comes in black and gray, which it has that logo, the Nine Inch Nail from that shirt, but it has the Captain Marvel logo surrounding it.
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about getting one. Because yeah. it's just cool. like, yeah. But it's,
so, yeah, so she takes the motorcycle and she goes off to that bar then that she's correct. Having the she's, flashbacks
yeah,
from.
Yeah,
then,
she manages to find it and go to it.
Right.
And then Fury, after, we see Fury at the autopsy, mm-hmm. and then he...
Fury's boss.
And Fury's boss is in there, and he's telling him to make sure he keeps him informed on everything.
Yeah.
And he says he thinks he has a lead on someone on a motorcycle theft that might be tied to...
Right. Tied to
so that's where that's how he figured out to get to the
right,
bar.
Right. And then we see the boss, after Fury like turns his back...
He leans over the body of the Skrull.
And he's
like... He's like giving like a funeral, farewell, my friend type
yes,
of thing.
Yes, type
like,
of
oh.
thing. So, okay, there's one dead one. You know that Fury's boss is another one. That's two, right? The third one that escaped...
That's three.
Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. So we're missing one Skrull. Still.
Yes.
There's one unaccounted for.
Unaccounted for.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So Fury catches up with her at the bar. She goes to the bar. This is the bar that she has memories of being at with and her fighter pilot
friends. But she
friends.
Asks when she comes into the bar.
She sees the pictures on the wall.
And she's asking the bartender guy, hey, where was this taken? Where is this from? And he's
right,
like,
but even before that, when she first walks in, she's having flashbacks to playing the video game.
And the pool
game. And doing
game.
Like karaoke.
All kinds of flashbacks, yeah.
Right. And so she sees the one plane there, and she asks the guy, where was this taken? He says, I don't know, an airport?
Not a good answer.
And then Fury shows up because he's able to trace her to that, and he starts saying, you know.
He's just grilling her.
Yeah.
Starts grilling her, yeah. And he says that he'd never really believed in aliens, but said, obviously, after what happened today,
right.
he's got to kind of rethink that whole thought.
And so. He says, oh, yeah, I was going to quit until this happened.
Right.
So,
right,
yeah, right, so right. It's just like, I thought, oh, that's very interesting. I wonder how long he was at level three before he decided, to stick it out, so to speak.
Right, right, right.
And so, he's asking all these questions like, how do I know that you're not a Skrull? So she does a plasma blast
on the jukebox.
The jukebox. Why the jukebox?
Right, right.
And he goes,
well, how do I know that
Skrulls can't? She's like, Skrulls can't do that.
And she goes, how do I know that you're not a Skrull? And she goes, oh, they can only remember short-term memories.
But she said they only get recent, only can latch onto recent memories.
And third, he goes, he says, name something personal. And he goes, like, I hate toast that's been cut at an angle.
Well, he says, if toast is cut diagonally, I can't eat it.
Now,
which is odd.
Okay. Somebody brought this up on the internet yesterday, and I freaked out about it. In Age of Ultron.
Okay.
They're at Hawkeye's house.
Yeah.
He's making a sandwich. He cut it at an angle.
Who's making the sandwich? Fury?
Fury. And he cuts it at an angle and starts eating a sandwich cut at an angle.
So he's contradicting himself.
Or is it Fury?
He could be just lying to her. He could just be making
something. Could have just lied to her, too.
Yeah.
He's a spy.
Right. He's a government agent. That's what they do, Patrick.
Just keep that in mind.
It's not interwebs, Anyway.
So he trusts her.
They trust each other.
Yeah, they figure out that they should probably mutually stick together for the time being.
Right. She's like talking about security clearance, and she mentions Lawson, right? She talks about this Lawson, right?
Yes. Yeah, right. And he goes, I know who you're talking about. We're going to go to this base.
Right, the secret, secret base.
Well, and they were in, there was one of her flashbacks where she was talking to Lawson.
Yes. And she was focusing on the name.
On the name.
Right.
Was that when she was... Was that her, or was that when she was under the
influence? No. She remembers something about him, and that's the only thing she remembers.
But I was trying to remember what triggered her remembering that. Was that when she was? That wasn't when she was in the bar, was it?
No. I think the whole Lawson, the remembrance of Lawson, was
when they
the Skrulls were trying to break into her.
When the
mind.
Skrulls were in her, right?
Right.
And they kept
because they kept repeating that.
Right.
And focusing on her jacket.
Right.
Pegasus Project.
And actually, they have the name Lawson.
At the bar, she goes, "Does Project Pegasus mean anything to you?"
Right. And he gives like, "Ooh, okay."
So they go to
where Project Pegasus is.
Now, what's significant about Project Pegasus?
So Project Pegasus is mentioned in Iron Man 2
and
it does sound
as being one of three projects that Iron Man or Tony asked Jarvis to look into. It's Project Goliath, Project Pegasus, and there's one other one.
Yeah.
And so Project Goliath we found out about in Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yes.
With Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that I read this in an interview, Kevin Feige said that where they go for Project Pegasus is the same base where the Tesseract is at the beginning of Avengers.
That makes sense.
The original Avengers, where Loki comes in, the whole base collapses. It's underground and the whole base collapses. It's in the middle of the desert.
It looks like a similar type of setup for the base.
So therefore, out of the three projects that were listed, we now know about two of them.
Right. Correct. So again, right, Project Pegasus is Carol Danvers and Agent Fury. In 1995, of course, that takes place in real time in 2012. The whole Loki,
yeah,
right. Right.
So the Project Pegasus has been around for a while because the Tesseract was recovered in Captain America: The First Avenger,
right,
by Howard Stark, and at the beginning of the building of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So
yes.
Therefore, the Tesseract has been around for a while,
and it was in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s possession.
This whole entire time.
Right.
Right.
Now, if you follow the timeline of the Tesseract, the one of the first Infinity Stones that we've been introduced to, Odin had it, brought it to Earth,
correct,
lost it on Earth. It was recovered and hidden away. It was found by Hydra agents, taken by Hydra agents.
By the Red Skull.
Right. It was
Red Skull.
Skull, not no, Skrull.
Skrulls.
Right. Let's not confuse
it. Or maybe.
No.
Okay. And it was then taken by Captain America, lost by Captain America, recovered by Howard Stark, given to S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. Kept it for decades. It was used in this Project Pegasus with extensively because it was made for the faster than light plane that was being built.
Right,
that was
being
the
tested.
The light speed engine.
Lost during the accident,
we'll
brought
to that.
You know, again, and then that's where that
and it
is.
So winds up back in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s possession.
And that's where
it is when Loki
takes over
in Avengers, and also in the post credit scene from Thor when Selvig,
yes,
Fury shows it to Selvig to get, he wants him to
analyze
him and analyze this Tesseract. Right. Yes.
Yes.
So that all ties together.
Everything is beautifully tied together.
So what they do find out, when they get into the Pegasus building, Fury flashes his badge, but obviously because of his level of clearance, they're shoved into a room and
like a little waiting room.
And so Fury used tape. The guy had handled his badge, so he uses tape to get the guy's fingerprint off and uses that to open the door.
Which is
he tries his fingerprint and it doesn't work because he doesn't have enough clearance.
Yeah.
So then they go to find the records. While he's doing the whole thing with the tape, Captain Marvel looks at and sees what floor the records are kept.
Right.
And so they go to the records, and then she just blasts the
lock hole right off there.
And he's like, "You got me messing around with the tape, and you can."
So, I want to see what you can do.
But they do find the records of Dr. Lawson.
Yes,
right.
They find out that she was working on a faster than light speed engine. And Fury says, "Oh, she's writing in gibberish. This is a crazy person." And then when Captain Marvel sees it, she says,
"No, that's Kree.
That's Kree. She's written in Kree."
Now, which is interesting, is it's because during the Agent of Shields, because of what was happening with Coulson, he was embedded with
the Kree language,
and Coulson he was writing it all over the walls and stuff.
Yes.
So again, tie-in, reiterating that this is Kree, hinting at Larson being a Kree agent instead of writing it in like Latin or scientific terms.
Correct.
She was writing it in
her native language.
Right, which would make sense if you're imprisoned
or something.
If you're working on something, you're writing the language.
Yeah,
I was
writing English. That's my native language.
And Fury looks through the records. A lot of things are redacted.
Yes.
He mentions there is that they did
most of it's redacted.
Most of it's redacted. There was a test flight. There he mentions a pilot who was killed in this mission. And so then that kind of piques her attention because she remembers.
Right.
She remembers Lawson. She remembers flying. She remembers the accident.
Right.
And then she does find a picture where her her picture is in the background.
Yeah, right. she's climbing on the plane.
She's climbing onto the plane.
Right. Lawson's in the foreground. Yes. She's
so she realizes this is what she's remembering.
Yeah, and she realizes that she's now from Earth.
But meanwhile, before she even is able to tell Fury that, there's...
All hell breaks for
this. Well, the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up because, Fury figures out that... But did Fury run into his boss before they got to the records, right?
Yes.
And then his boss calls in.
Right, and his boss says, tell me, what level is she on? And he puts him in the elevator, remember, but he drops him off like a boiler room, an empty room, because he knows he's some sort of...
Well, because he while they're driving to the base, he mentions how she sees his ID and she says, Nicholas Joseph Fury.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's like, why do you have three names? He's like, everybody does. He said, well, what do people call you? He says, everybody calls me Fury.
Fury, right.
She's like, what about your mother? Well, she calls me Fury. Everybody calls me Fury.
Right. In the elevator.
His boss calls him Nicholas. And that's when he does a double take.
He's like, oh.
And then he says, so what are we going to do? He said, we'll do that move we did in Havana.
Yes.
Right. Just that move just like we did in Havana. He said, oh, yeah, right. And so that's obviously a fake thing that he's testing the guy out. Yeah. When he knows he's putting together this guy's really a Skrull.
Yeah, and then he goes like, oh, you go to this level, I'll go down to the next level and cut her off. But that was the real level. Yes.
Right. So he was stalling for time. Correct. That's right.
And so he gets up on the wrong level, finds out nobody's there. He's at the real level, and he's going like, we got to get out of here. Right. And this is where, we get to meet Goose?
Goose shows up, yes.
Yeah, and that kind of opens up a whole can of words. Goose is a cat in form, but it's actually a...
Flurkin,
which is a real thing. I thought it was a fake thing you made up, but it's not, right?
No,
right,
it's
not,
right.
No, but, well, think... I'm assuming Goose was there with Lawson, who was really Kree.
That makes sense.
That's where she was working. Goose was probably just wandering around there after she died.
And so they kept the cat
as who cared. It was just like a little house pet.
Yeah, I was thinking like...
But of course they didn't care.
They live forever.
Yeah.
18 years, usually 15.
Yeah, I had a cat live 29 years. And right now I have one that's 18 years old and he's doing fine.
Okay.
Good for you, Patrick.
And the strange thing is that he does, when you squeeze him, all these... Technically, will come out of his mouth.
Anyway, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so they do.
La La Land.
They do get attacked by the S.H.I.E.L.D. starts coming after them.
Yes.
The Fury's boss, who's really figured out as a Skrull, is telling the agents to capture them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then he even says something to Fury about how, because Fury has figured out who he is, and the glass is dropping. He says something about well, I don't really need these, but they do kind of complete the look.
Yes.
And
then as he's about to kill
Fury, Fury shows up and blasts him.
Right. Yeah.
They get away. They're going up a set of stairs, and who do they run into?
Agent Coulson.
Who is supposed to turn them in. But
he pauses, and he lets them go away,
right.
And then he reports, and no, it's all clear here in the stairwell.
Okay, now I'm going to put this little seed of thought in everybody's head.
Okay.
Is it because he trusts Fury, and he doesn't know about the Skrulls yet, does he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think he knows.
Okay. Or does he know, or is he another Skrull playing Agent Coulson?
I don't think so.
I think he's just Coulson.
I think he's just Coulson, and he trusts Fury.
Yeah, because if you see like later on in the movie or near the end, they seem to have like a very good relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to put that in everybody's head.
Well, okay.
Because don't forget, it's down to the genetic level.
Right, listeners, tweet us. But I think that's Coulson, the human Coulson.
Because this, I think, will tie into Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So then where's the real Coulson?
We'll see that in this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. because season 6 starts in May.
Yeah, but...
I think that's stretching.
Because he died last season.
Yes, but they're saying that he's playing. Clark Gregg is playing a character who's not Coulson.
Are you sure?
That's what the report is. So.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. Just keep that in mind.
So they
escape.
They escape.
Yes, they need to escape.
And they go to the one thing that she knows, or she figured out from the pictures.
Oh, and they escape by getting into a plane.
Right. Yes.
That's there. That's jump in a plane.
But that's like a modern technology.
It's a modern plane.
And he goes, hey, can you fly this thing? She goes, I'll find out.
Right. And she looks at it, and she takes off.
So. Yeah. And he goes, it's a yes or no answer. Yes,
they take off, they escape the base.
And they realize that Goose has joined them on the
plane. Which is fine. And then, of course... She goes, you know, where are we going? And he goes, where are we going? He says, oh, Louisiana. And so he says, oh, yeah, take a right, take a like left at Memphis or something like that.
Yeah, he says, keep straight, take a left at Memphis.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So
they go and they land in this place.
And they're going to see her best friend from when she was a pilot.
And he was her co-pilot or her
wingman.
Who's
one of the people that she's been seeing right. in her memories yes. as her memories are coming back. Up,
yeah. Now, this is another significant thing, or they're laying the groundwork for a future character.
So that character is Monica Rambeau.
Yes,
and the daughter.
The daughter is.
I thought Monica was the daughter.
Monica's the daughter, right? She was.
Aren't they both Monica?
No, they're not both Monica.
No, it's not a junior.
What was the woman's name?
All of a sudden, I'm blanking.
I am too. It's another M, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in one
really?
Second.
Yes.
I swore.
No. But see, the thing is, they land, they go there, and they're like, oh my God, you're alive. And because
she's Maria Rambeau.
Maria.
The daughter is Monica. Well, in the comics, Monica Rambeau is a character who became one of the characters who's been Captain Marvel.
And she ends up being a character called Binary.
Right. No, not Binary.
No. Not Binary?
No, not Binary. Binary was Carol Danvers.
Right. I thought that they...
No, she was... Anyway, while you're looking that up. So they go to Maria Rambeau's home.
Home in
Louisiana.
She's
still a pilot.
And she's still a pilot. She's working on equipment. And then they just...
Helicopter.
And they... She is surprised to see that Carol is still alive.
What do you be? I be.
Right. Oh, she became Photon.
Photon.
Pulsar, and then Spectrum.
Yes.
Monica, the daughter.
Yes. The daughter.
Right.
Well, yeah. Monica Rambeau in the comics.
In the comics.
So we assume that they could be laying the groundwork of that with the daughter.
Sure. Because the daughter is what, maybe 10 in this film?
And that was...
Yeah, 95.
And that
was 24 years ago.
Yeah, right. So therefore she'd be the perfect age.
In her 30s.
She could be an Endgame.
Yeah. Or in another
film.
Film set in current era.
Or our Captain Marvel Part 2.
Correct.
True.
Yes.
True.
So anyway. So
they laid the groundwork.
So she has some explaining to do, basically.
Right. Yeah. And so then she explains to them that what she's piecing together has happened to her, that she's been taken to this other planet, and da-da-da.
Brainwashed.
And so Maria is kind of shocked by all this.
Right, it's a little far-fetched.
So she demonstrates by putting her hand on the tea kettle
and cooks the water up.
Right, in front of
instead of blowing a hole in the wall.
Right.
Blowing another music box up.
Jukebox,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
She could have done that with her glass, just cook the glass. But, you know, okay.
But then while they're talking, then the daughter decides, says, we've got all your stuff. So she brings down a box.
Right.
Of photographs. There's all these photographs. Here's where
mementos,
we are. Here's some pictures of you as a kid, da da da. And so again, it's helping her to piece all of her
memories
are starting to come back together. And then while they're having this whole discussion, the doorbell rings and she says, oh, that's just my nosy neighbor. And Carol and Fury are both like, well, no, you can't be too sure.
No.
Right.
And Carol basically chases the neighbor off.
Yes.
Right. But I believe is just the neighbor.
It was the neighbor.
But then right after that, Skrull, Talos, shows up. So was that her neighbor?
Yeah, we don't know.
Or was that one of the Skrulls?
Talos,
the one who was pretending to be Fury's
boss
right. and who was also on the Skrull base when they were trying to extract information from her brain. So he walks into the house and they start having a conversation too.
And he's trying to explain the real reason behind everything. And this is when we find something different about the Skrulls.
This is the twist.
This is the twist.
This is the thing that really, I'm like, okay, now wait a second. Who's, as you said, this is where I really got confused. I'm like, okay, now who's good and who's bad? Because I'm like,
well,
is she playing for the wrong team now? I mean, that's what I was saying.
Well, he mentions that they have the information that was in the black box
correct.
Of the plane that crashed.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
And so then Maria says, well, no, they told us that was destroyed. Of course, we know the black box has always survived the crashes.
Yes.
And so he's had the information on the black box converted to a CD.
Yes.
And so
1995.
It's 1995. They put it into the CD drive, and
it slowly boots up.
Like 5 minutes to boot up.
Right.
She's like, what's going on? Free says, it's downloading.
Right. That's how it works. Right.
And I leaned over to my son, who's 12, and I said, that's actually how computers work back then.
Mine wasn't even that fast. So
no, just, no, again, that, this is Hollywood. They're even, you know. So they actually listen to the audio file.
Right. And as they're listening to the audio file, we as the audience, we see it play, that actual scene playing out. Mm-hmm. And right. so she goes up in the plane with
Lawson.
The plane crashes, and then instead of the Skrull coming towards her with a gun, it's actually Jude Law's character, Yon Rogg.
Right. Yeah, the reason why it crashed was because it was being shot at.
Correct.
Yeah, because they wanted that information really bad. They wanted to get Lawson. If they couldn't get that, they wanted the technology
for the light speed engine.
Right. And it crashes.
Have a military advantage.
Right. Well, yeah. This is going to tip the battle. Either way, whoever side gets this, that's going to tip the battle.
Right. So, and also Lawson reveals to her that she's not really, because her blood is blue.
Yes.
She reveals that she's not from here, that her name is really Mar-Vell.
Right.
So that's one other twist from the comics, is Mar-Vell in the comics is the original Captain Marvel, who's a man,
right?
who actually is involved in a relationship with, he's a Kree who comes to Earth, but he winds up fighting against the Kree. Mm-hmm. And then he's in a relationship with Carol Danvers, and then she becomes Ms. Marvel. And basically gets similar powers to Captain Marvel.
Right. So this is an interesting twist, but it puts a bow on everything, ties everything together very nicely.
Right. And so she tells her that the engine has to be destroyed, and so as she sees Yon Rogg coming over, she takes her gun she takes the gun that Mar-Vell has.
Right. But Yon Rogg shoots
Shoots
Larson.
Yeah,
yeah. So he's dying. She's dying.
Right.
And then she's like, "Well," he says, "You're next." And he says, "I have to get this tech." You mean from that engine? And she
And boom.
She shoots it.
And then
point all the blank. Energy from the engine.
And he knew it. I know he didn't want her to destroy it. But he also now I understood because it blew him back too. Like she went flying.
Yeah, but she was very close to it. She took the blunt of the explosion.
Right.
And that engine was being powered by the Tesseract.
Right, right.
So she absorbed the energy from the Tesseract.
Right, from that explosion engine, basically.
Yes.
And then that gives her superpowers, in essence.
Right, right.
And so
Yardle, he rescues her, takes her away.
Right.
So now S.H.I.E.L.D. probably shows up later. We don't see this, but there's a damaged plane. The black box is gone.
The engine's gone.
The engine's been destroyed. Larson's dead.
Right, and there's a pilot missing.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of unanswered questions if you're S.H.I.E.L.D. on that.
Right.
Yes.
So they're catching up.
Now she's all caught up because now she knows where she came from.
Right, she's an Earthling, but she got modified by this alien technology, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they find out that Mar-Vell had actually been working with Talos and some of the Skrulls to protect them from the Kree, and they one of the things that she remembered and Maria had also remembered was that Lawson had been telling them that this technology was going to end wars. It was going to stop wars.
Right. I think she said that earlier on.
Right. So therefore, this wasn't a weapon of war. This was a weapon of peace.
Correct.
That's how it was sold. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's hard for me to square the circle of weapon of peace, but that's okay.
That's a whole other topic.
Right. Right. No, I know. That's a different podcast.
Political podcast.
So they know that they need to get to Mar-Vell's base where the energy source is,
and they couldn't. Yes. They didn't know where it was until they figured it out, which is in space.
In space, right. So, but then
not on Earth.
Talos's assistant, who's with him, he says is his science expert, says that he can modify the plane that they have to take them up into space.
Yes,
right. So they all go.
They all go.
Yeah, they have this thing that's like the precursor to the Quinjet.
Right.
It's been modified for space flight.
Kind of looks like one, yeah.
And therefore, it's just like, okay, you got something that's not supposed to leave the atmosphere.
Right, right. It's like Generation 1.
Yes.
Right. Like Generation 1 of Iron Man.
But they get to the point, they take off to the point of where it's supposed to be.
And it's not there.
And it's not there, but it's because it's cloaked.
One of them, like, decloaks it or...
Right, doesn't Captain Marvel decloak it?
I don't think so. Or is it one of the Skrulls?
I think it was one of the Skrulls.
One of the Skrulls gives an order.
Right.
And then it decloaks, and then they fly into it.
Right.
And then it looks like it's an abandoned base.
Right. They believe it's an abandoned base.
So and there's a pinball machine and all this other.
Right, right, right. Like,
but
like,
they find the energy source, which it turns out is
the Tesseract.
Right.
Right. So they, and then.
But then they also find that there's prisoners.
Well, not prisoners, but there's
people hiding people out.
That's, that's
that are that are other Skrulls.
Yes, right. And they were told to stay there until Talos gets back, and says, "Don't whatever you do, don't leave, don't communicate, don't transmit. Stay here until you hear back from me."
Right, right. And that's the thing.
And that's what Mar-Vell or Lawson had told them before she died.
Yeah, and they did exactly that. They right. just they stayed.
They just
hidden.
Basically laid low there,
right? Which is
for the last 6 years.
We realize is Talos' wife. His child, mm-hmm. and of course, other
some other Skrulls.
Other
there.
Skrulls are a good choice. Yeah. Which is again, which it wasn't confusing. It was very. It was that was a very sad part. I mean, just to,
well, then you realize that this group of Skrulls or a large group of them are actually refugees. They're yeah. trying to, you know. But again, like as Ethan pointed out, is that that's not all of them. There's thousands of them all over the galaxy.
Right, so scattered about. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just a small group of them. They may not all think this way. They may all,
yeah, so
all
not
may
all
not
Skrulls
react.
Skrulls may be good guys. That's,
yeah.
Right.
Because I heard some people saying, "Well, this is a twist because in the comics the Skrulls are bad guys," but they may still be bad guys, and this was just a group that
yeah,
were trying
group.
To
stay to out
stay
of
out
it.
Of it right. and
neutral
peaceful,
or whatever.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right, right. So
so while they're there, then meanwhile, Yon Rogg and
everybody
his,
else
and his whole
his crew,
crew
finally shows
up
because
right,
they were it took them 24 hours to get to Earth.
Right, right. They were right jumping through like hyperspace or whatever.
Yeah,
call
right,
it.
Right, right.
Exactly. So they're there
and they see
so
the
now,
base and they go on the, onto the ship.
Right, and this is the big battle.
Yeah, you know, a huge battle. They knock each other silly, and this is where we find out the Flerken's powers.
Yes.
Yes. We just think he's a little cat.
And the cat, a little cat. Oh, wait, you know, and. Fury is always petting him and being really friendly with the cat
right,
because
the
he loves cats.
Fury
loves cats. Samuel Jackson doesn't like animals
right.
or pets, I should say.
Right.
But so,
well, remember Brie Larson, the actress,
is highly
allergic.
Allergic.
To cats.
So right. So they had three or four cats.
There was three stunt cats, and then
they had
Reggie.
They had a and then they also had a puppet
they
for
had,
her.
They, right. They had a puppet for her. So
for the scenes with her, because she's allergic.
Right.
To cats.
When she was
extremely
holding it and petting it, but you can see it was a puppet, and of course they CGI'd yeah. it too with yeah. the Flerken parts too. So.
Yeah. So they're going through this battle. Everybody's fighting each other and everything.
Right.
Is this where Talos gets shot? Or is that before they get off board?
I think yeah,
I think he gets shot there.
Yeah,
he gets
shot,
there.
Right.
Talos gets shot, and we're like, oh shit, okay, yeah, right. yeah. The only good Skrull
no,
is
he gets
dying.
Shot at the end.
He gets shot before they board
the Quinjet.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
his,
yeah, that's right.
Right. So, but Flerken's you know eating people. And, you know,
well, the Flerken it's a species of animal that its digestive tract is actually able to absorb, you know, to swallow very large objects because their digestive tract is an alternate dimension or another dimensional part.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's just. So,
okay,
now,
so Flerken,
now what have I
no, no,
done?
No. So Flerken. So right. And honestly, I never knew that. I honestly thought this was just a cat. Right. So,
oh yeah.
So I just thought it was a cat. It's a cat until I realized it wasn't a cat. Anyway.
And so it swallows several Skrulls.
Right.
And the Tesseract.
Well, before that, they had put the Tesseract in a
lunchbox.
Happy Days lunchbox. but then when they split up. Captain Marvel takes the lunchbox and she gives Fury the Tesseract to basically be a decoy for the Kree that are chasing
right.
And they're
after
her.
Yon Rogg
is
attacking her and he tries to take it from her and she like you know gives it up and then he realizes oh there's nothing in there
right
and just zing gotcha
yeah. And then also she'd had this little device on the back of her neck so Governor. They remove that and thinking that's gonna take away her powers, but it doesn't
well, no,
work.
I thought it was still there. It's just because they capture her, they chain her to there,
and they
gets
connect her into the Supreme Intelligence.
And she goes like, "How dare you do this and all this stuff?"
And she's fighting with.
Yeah,
she's trying
to power
break, right. She's constricted.
Yeah.
And they're like standing over her.
And she's like trying to go through
she's
this.
She's trying to break out of this.
The Supreme Intelligence.
Right.
And
now,
so
that was
they
a scene that kind of reminded me of The Matrix. You know?
Yes, it did.
Like
very much so.
Finally
breaks
through at the end. Yes.
Yes. And so they argue, the Supreme Intelligence and her, she finally overpowers the thing on her neck
right.
because that was holding her powers back. And she realizes, and she even says it, I've been fighting this whole entire time with one arm tied behind my back.
Right.
Now let's see what I can do.
Right, right.
So now it's...
Now she goes apeshit, basically.
Yeah,
right.
she takes everybody out.
Right, right.
And so meanwhile, Fury and the Skrulls have been captured by the Kree,
mm-hmm.
right.
and they're being led away. But then they realize that one of the Kree is actually Talos.
Yes.
Right.
And he gives him a clue of that. And so then as they're about to board the ship, he basically takes out the rest of the Kree.
Right.
And then they get everybody on the ship. Whoops. Get everybody on the ship. And then
he gets shot.
Then he gets shot, right.
Yes. And you're thinking like, okay, this is maybe where the Skrulls go from good guys to bad guys because their leader was shot. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, oh, crap, this is the tipping point.
I
really thought he was going to die because...
I thought he was going to die. I didn't think about them switching sides or anything.
I was thinking like this is going to be the tipping point. This is where the mistake happens, and this is where we're drawn into the war.
Far, yeah. No. And then meanwhile, earlier in the film, after one of the times that Furriers or Carol talks to Yamrog, after he stops talking to her, he contacts Ronan and says that we have a Skrull invasion, Skrull infestation on T-53 or whatever they call Earth. So at this point in the film, while they're leaving the base, Mar-Vell's base, Ronan the Accuser shows up with several ships.
So they're armed to the teeth, and they showed kind of like what he does. His favorite thing is to do is just like bomb the crap out of everybody.
Yes, right.
That's his go to thing.
Right,
right.
Yeah, he doesn't personally get involved.
Takes no prisoners. Right?
He just levels everything into the ground.
So as the ship, the Quinjet, so to speak, is heading back to Earth. And Carol's following after them. Then Ronan shows up and he shoots all these missiles towards them.
Out at the base.
But then she goes up and she grabs one, turns it towards the rest of the missiles that are coming back, and they all
go off,
blow up. So
yeah, she's using her full powers now because now she doesn't have her damper on. No. Now she's at full strength.
Right, she's flying on her own.
You see the front of the missile crumple. From catching it, and then she plows through one of them and all this stuff.
Right,
and then
she literally goes through the ship and lights it fire and blows it.
And then she stops in front of the other ones,
right in front of Ronan.
And she basically just like
what do you got?
You gonna do? Yeah,
and then she does a clap, which creates like a sonic boom.
Yeah, right. In space, which is really awesome. Right. A shockwave.
Shockwave.
Right. And then he's like, "We're out of here."
Right.
And he said, "I'll come back for the weapon." And they said, "Oh, the engine." He said, "No." Her.
Right.
Yeah.
So that just opens up a whole can of worms.
Right.
Because we know that he survives at least
until
Guardians
1. 2014, more or less. Right. So
we got another 20 years of dealing with him.
Right. Correct.
And so she's like, and they all scatter, they all leave, and so basically she goes back to Earth.
Back down towards Earth and to continue the fight with Yamrog,
because they have a battle on Earth.
Still. Yeah, she takes him down on the pod, and then they start beating each other senseless.
And he says something about going back to their training about how let's fight without it, don't use your powers, let's fight.
Right.
Yes.
Like he's said before when they're training, and she just looks at him, and I'm thinking to myself, just blast him. And she blasts him. I don't have anything to prove anything to you.
Yeah. And which I thought it was like so much Indiana Jones like.
But he was taunting her. He was trying to have her fight.
Yeah, because he knew that he can better her in physical combat.
Right.
He's just like, he played the only card he had left and expecting her to fall for it.
Right.
And she did.
She did.
And so she ties him up.
She ties him up, puts him back in his pod, and then sets the course for Tim to go back to Hala.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's tied up, and it's a one-way trip because of the way she programmed it. And so he's gone. Right. So,
He's gone. Meanwhile, it's important to note, Fury, earlier in the film when the car crashed, he got a cut on his eye, above his left eye.
But
then as the plane is heading back into Earth, Goose at one point freaks out and scratches him
really badly over his left eye. Yeah. Right.
First when I saw him, like, oh, that's nasty, but that's not it.
I thought the car crash was it. And then this happened. I thought, like, oh, okay.
But see, I didn't believe. I said, no, not Goose. It couldn't be the Flurkin. It couldn't be the cat. But it was.
Okay, but then
he mentions in what movie? In Winter Soldier or something? He says.
Yeah, he says, I lost this eye because of somebody I trusted. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe you meant Goose.
Absolutely. Because. Yeah. We see at the end of the movie, he has like the eye patch.
Yes, because they go back to Earth and they're back to Louisiana.
Right, to see Maria Rambeau and Monica Rambeau.
And then they reprogram her costume.
Well, no, she did that before they went
up. Oh, that went up. Yeah,
that's because she said she couldn't wear the Kree colors anymore.
Right. So they got the modern.
But they went back to Louisiana to kind of...
to settle everything.
Yeah, to kind of like, you know, tie up the loose ends and stuff. Yes. Like
they're
that.
Having dinner at Maria's house along with Talos and his wife.
Right, and everybody. Right. And he lives. And he says, are you going to be okay? Talos he says, lives, I'll live.
Right.
So, which was a good thing.
Right.
And so then she boards the Skrulls up onto the ship to go, and she leaves to escort them to a new planet. They found a new home for them where they'll be off the grid, away from the Kree,
and everything
and
like
safe
that.
And everything. So.
Yes. So they take off, and then they show Coulson and Fury
back at SHIELD headquarters,
wherever that may be.
Right. And Fury, he's got the thing over his eye.
A patch.
Right.
And Coulson says, is it really true that you lost your eye being interrogated by the Kree?
And
he's like, yeah, something like that.
Right.
And he presents him with a bunch of
fake eyes
for him.
Right. A big tray of them. And I know, I know people that would take artificial eyes and make jewelry out of them and things like this. It does come in that tray.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I was like, oh,
That's
real.
Okay, yeah. I've never seen that.
So then Fury is typing something on his computer. It says the Protector Initiative.
Yes,
and he's talking about Coulson. How well, maybe we don't need her. We can, you know, we need to kind of basically find our own protectors.
Right.
In case something like this.
And
happens.
And where does he
again.
See it? He sees from a headline.
He's looking at a picture of Carol
in her plane, and it's in her on her plane. It said. Carol, the Avenger, Danvers.
That's right.
And that's when he changes it to
the Avengers Initiative.
And again, so that's in essence the end of the movie, right? Or do we see Goose still?
Well, no.
That's a post-credit scene.
So we've tied up some loose ends. We find out what happened to Fury's eye.
Yes.
We found out what started the Avengers Initiative. We find out that Agent Coulson and Agent Fury were almost out of the agency. This pulled them back in.
Right.
It kind of sets up that whole scene where Fury's introduced at the end of Iron Man.
Yes.
Where he says that you're not alone.
Yes.
You're not unique.
You're not unique. There's other ones out there.
And does he use the term the Avengers Initiative?
Yes. And so now this kind of sets everything up for the future.
Right.
For all the future
everything.
Marvel
movies. Oh, and one thing we forgot to mention is that Fury was using a pager in the movie. And so then when they're doing the dishes at Maria's house.
At the end.
She's
tweaking.
She's modified the pager, and she gives it to him, and she tells him to use it in an emergency only.
Right. Yes, this will call me from two galaxies away.
Two galaxies away, she says.
Yes. So, and so he takes this modified pager, puts it in his pocket. Okay, then they show, that's basically the end of the movie, except
the end
for
the movie
two.
Is him at the desk talking to Coulson.
Right.
And he starts planning the Avengers Initiative.
Right.
Back in 95.
So the end credits start. Then we get a mid-credit scene.
Which is an awesome one.
Which is, my guess is that it's an actual scene from Endgame. So we see.
Yes, I think it is.
Well, this one comes first.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
So we see Captain America,
Black Widow,
and Banner. And they're looking at these screens and they say, it's saying like,
3 billion dead.
3 billion.
In red numbers.
It's counting.
It's counting.
Not dead, but it says like, missing or
gone.
Or gone. Right.
Like missing, yeah. Right. The whole entire world's freaking out. And
Cap says to Black Widow, he says, this is a nightmare. And she says, I've had nightmares better than this.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then while they're looking at all this information, then Rhodey comes in and says that it's stopped.
Right.
And so they rush into where the pager is. The pager had been beeping and it stopped.
Right.
And they're wondering, did the battery die? And they said, no, it's hooked up to power.
Yeah, he says, we've overridden the battery. Start it back up.
Well, Fury hit it for some reason. And then Natasha says, well, I want to turn it back on. I want to see who's on the other end of that. And just like that, they turn around. And there's Captain Marvel. And she's like, where's Fury?
Yes, and boom. End of scene.
Right. Yes.
I think
that's a scene in Endgame. I don't think it's the first scene.
But it's the earlier part of the film.
It's an actual scene from the movie.
Yes.
Or is it a modified scene like they did with Ant-Man?
Yes.
Well, that was pretty much the same scene.
Yeah,
it was just
was.
A piece of that scene.
Yeah.
So, all right. So
and then there's another scene at the very end.
Which explains everything. Because
it's everything.
Yeah, but it shows Fury's desk, and he's got a name tag, a name plate on there that says Fury, and only Fury.
Right.
And Goose jumps up on the desk, and
he starts coughing like he's going to have
a hairball.
Right.
But it's actually
the Tesseract.
Right. He barfs up the Tesseract. Right.
So that's how the Tesseract is back in S.H.I.E.L.D. hands.
Yes.
Which is where it is until Loki comes to get it in 2012 in the Avengers.
Now, this explains a lot. It puts sets a lot of things up and everything. Right. But
so as much as of it being an origin story, it's also kind of a prequel to the other movies, right?
Yes.
Right.
It had a lot of things to have to carry. It had to explain a lot, but it also had to have enough wiggle room to build from.
Correct.
And it had 50 years of history to play with, and they did, I think, an exceptional job. You know, the little tweaks they did worked. I don't think there's anything that anybody can really complain about this. It did 153 in the States as an opening.
Yeah, like 450 globally.
Yes. So. And so overall, it is a complete, utter success. Absolutely. No matter the trolls. I hate the trolls.
Right, and we're only a few days into the
this is the
launch of the movie.
Yeah,
right?
five days into the film.
Right, and so it's made. 100, right. I saw Sunday night, they said $153 million for the weekend. They said the Friday box office.
$63 million.
Was like, I think they said the best Friday for a superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it did its job. Yeah. When I saw it Thursday night at 6 p.m., there wasn't an empty seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it Saturday evening. It wasn't completely full, but there were only like a handful of seats.
There was a huge
but
mix.
But the theater I saw it at was showing it like every hour.
It was just printing money at this point.
I saw it in IMAX, and I don't think there. I mean, there's maybe like the first row had some empty seats, but I mean, we're talking, hundreds of seats, and it was packed. It was packed to the gills.
And there was glancing around at the audience that I was with. There was all age groups. There was young, old, middle aged, and it was a very big mixture of male and female.
So at the IMAX, when I saw my daughter, and there was a lot of families. You know, mom, dad. Mm-hmm. You know, daughter, son.
Well, I went with my family.
Right, exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of and there's also couples.
Yeah, I think this appeals to everybody there, and the trolls don't really have a word to stand on.
Yep.
Well, number one, because of the success, but two, this is a good primer, I think, for getting us ready for Endgame, especially that end credit scene is crucial because a lot of we've speculated on previous podcasts. Is Captain Marvel going to be in there? Endgame?
Well, and then we answer that, and then right after that scene that's set on there, Captain Marvel will return in Avengers Endgame.
Right, so right, it's just right, that settled that right there.
All I'm saying is right. I mean, so all it's. I think it's another crucial piece to the puzzle.
But it stands alone by itself.
It can stand alone.
I mean, because if you haven't seen anything else and you see this, you're not going to be lost.
But you'll miss some of the references.
There's a ton of references. There's a lot of little Easter eggs in this one that are still popping up.
But even like if you haven't seen the other movies, like the references to Fury's Eye and to Coulson and to the Avengers Initiative and the Tesseract aren't as big. But if you've seen all the other movies,
it makes
you see
a lot
how
of
it all
sense.
Connects.
Yeah. It's just all of a sudden, it's a puzzle piece that drops in. And it just fits in perfectly.
Right, and last thing I'll say, again, since not being a big comic book person on Captain Marvel comics, I still think it's a crucial movie. So again, rent, buy, or stream?
I say buy. I am so going to buy this when it comes out. Because all the behind-the-scene things and all the stuff that's going to show. Definitely see it in the theater, for sure. Yeah.
I would say I'm between a stream and a buy. For me... This isn't the top echelon of the MCU films. It's not, you know, Winter Soldier, Black Panther, those films which I hold at the top. Mm. But it's not the worst either.
No.
I'd say it's in the upper half, I would say, I guess.
Upper echelon.
And again, there's, you know,
the Marvel films overall
have been... Yeah. Been pretty good quality.
Right, there's another fantastic
Audi. They've split the arrow again. So 21 out of 21 times.
Right. So again, I'm going to say... Seat at the theater, no question about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a little bit like Ethan, and I'll say this. I gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars, and my only criticism of this movie is, again, if you weren't such a big comic book follower, the whole, you know, okay, is she Kree, is she Skrull, which side is it? That was a little confusing to me, so you need a little more. So it helps if you know more of the Kree-Skrull war background.
Okay.
As long as you have that, or you read about that, then this should be a 4 out of 4 stars. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to buy it on DVD or just stream it, but I want to see this movie again because, there's so much there's so much richness to this movie.
There's a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Yes. And so if you have to take go for a bathroom break, you're missing something. You know,
yeah. It's one of those. Oh, that was so nice about this one. It was only 2 hours and what, 16 minutes long?
It was
long?
Short. It was a little bit shorter than the 2:45, which again, let's just briefly mention, we're at the end here. Endgame is going to be, what, 3 hours and 3 minutes?
It's three hours and minutes.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's before the trailers and everything. So if you sit down in the theater before the trailers start till the end, and you're going to have
about
to stay
three and a half hours.
Yes. Yeah, three and a half hours straight.
Because listeners, if you haven't, well, hopefully you've seen the movie, but we all had 20 minutes of trailers before Captain Marvel. I timed
So we're going to assume there's going to be 20 minutes of trailers or even more or whatever.
Right. So that means a 3.5 hour movie time.
Easily.
Easily, yes.
Yeah, so Endgame, small soda, large popcorn.
I'm still getting a big one. But anyway, yeah, so I love the movie. Captain Marvel was fantastic. Brie Larson is now part of the universe.
I can't wait to see her, what's coming up.
Yeah, I think this is a great Marvel action hero movie.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, anyway, so
where can we find us?
Where can you find us? Well, you can find us at geekculture.online. You can listen to the podcast almost anywhere you can listen to podcasts at. Now, we do have
iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts,
Spotify,
TuneIn,
iHeartRadio. Just any place that you pull a podcast from, it'll be on there. Now, you could also go to social media at Facebook and Instagram at Geek Culture Online. You can to tweet us directly at
Your Geek Culture.
Larry's favorite.
My favorite, yes.
And you can write to me directly at Patrick at geekculture.online. You can write to Larry at geekculture.online. You can write to Ethan at geekculture.online.
And you can go to the Patreon page and subscribe.
Yes, subscribe. And also make sure that when you do listen to the podcast, not only subscribe, remark, and download and
like it, and do all this,
because that helps us with everything else. And please check out the Patreon page. It's now live. There is 5 tiers to it. There's something there for everybody. That will keep the lights on and the podcast free. So if anything else, please check it out. It's in the upper right-hand corner of the page. There's a link there. We will now go back to our regularly scheduled MCU.
Yes.
And the next one we're going to be doing is Guardians 2. So listen.
Well, actually, the next one everyone will be hearing is Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. And then Guardians 2 after that.
Yes.
Bookmark the website.
Yes, please do. All right. And until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.